Yeah, the question of the day here. This just keeps getting better for the Steelers. It feels almost too good. The injuries are not good news. They've lost Sayamalu for multiple weeks, right? He's already missed multiple weeks. We hear, he's getting close. Now Highsmith, multiple weeks, perhaps. Their starting quarterback never got out of the gates. Who else? Jaylen Warren.
Troy Faltanu.
So they've had some adversity for sure, but they keep winning and they're looking better.
Roman Wilson.
That was a great performance on Sunday. And that combined with other developments, it's pretty stunning to be sitting here 3 weeks into the season with a 3-game lead on the Bengals, who had the Patriots and Commanders at home. I didn't have that one on the old bingo card, as they say. And the Ravens weren't projected to be 1-2 at this point either, and they could easily be 0-3. They got Josh Allen next. The Steelers have Anthony Richardson. But more to the point, is the Steelers start projectable? And I say it is, because I think this is a potentially great defense. Health, always a factor. But I think defense travels. Defense wins you games as long as you have anything but a self-destructive offense, which is what the Steelers had as recently as last season. Because eventually, if your offense is so bad that it can't keep your own defense off the field a little bit, at the very least, have some lengthy drives, get some leads, not give the ball back, and God forbid, maybe even have a 30-point game or so. And you know what? That Chargers game to me was close to that. The Steelers chose not to score at the end. It was basically a 27-point type game. And if Boswell kicks that field goal, then you're at 30. I don't think that's ridiculous to say. That was the type of game it was a 27-30-point game. Not that I would expect them to kick a 62-yard field goal. You know what I mean here. I think the Steelers are on their way to a very good season. I think they're going to win the AFC North. These 3 weeks have changed my mind on this team. They have. Defensively, I didn't know if Cam Hayward was going to be back to himself. He looks like it. I didn't know about the additions in the secondary. They look great. I certainly didn't know about Justin Fields offensively. A lot of times we don't know what a guy is like when we haven't watched him. But really with Fields, even if you saw every game with the Bears, I have friends from Chicago who are like, who is that guy? With Chicago, he was liable to run for 100 yards and throw for 4 touchdowns 1 week and be the worst player on the field the next. There was no indication that he was going to be this in a very short sample. Would I be blown away if 3 weeks from now, Justin Fields was really struggling and we were talking about Russell Wilson, when can he get in? I wouldn't be blown away by that, but I don't expect it. I don't expect it, but of course it could happen. We're really talking about one really good game that he had against the Chargers. He had good halves the previous 2 games. But speaking of projectability, I don't see why that's not projectable. The Chargers are a very good defense, even without Bosa. From the back to the front, they're very good. He can make every throw. He can run, make plays with his feet. He's got a nice touch. He has a pocket presence, or at least he did in this game, that I don't think a lot of people had pegged through his first 3 years in the NFL. He doesn't look rattled. He doesn't look like the game is fast for him. He seems willing to take what's there. Like, what's not projectable about that? Will there be weeks where he's probably terrible and under siege? Yeah, everybody has those weeks. I'm wildly encouraged here. How about you? 412-928-9370. Coming up, we have Pomp's Saturday Night with the CBS crew in his own words. This is unbelievable stuff. But let's stick with this right now. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates. personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Limits?
Here is Ray in Whitehall.
Hi, Ray. We've gotten calls from all over Western Pennsylvania today.
Yeah, we have.
From Glassport to Whitehall to where else? It's been all over.
North Hills.
Go ahead, sir.
Hey, what's going on? Looking at the rest of the teams in the AFC and trying just to be objective as I can, the only two teams I think at this point and that I think would have the capability of beating the Steelers, and which I at this point I don't think they could beat them, would be the Jets and the Chiefs. If the Jets, and you know they're going to continue to get better as Roger progresses, they're going to find that rhythm. I think that defense is really good, and I wouldn't pay attention to what happened with the Jets' defense last year because I'm sure they got discouraged.
I'm in on the Steelers, and I'm in on the Jets. I'm with you there. I wouldn't say the Steelers couldn't beat the Jets, but I'm definitely in on the Jets because, and I said this after their week one loss to the Niners, Aaron Rodgers was alive and well and breathing and moving and making some good throws. That's all I needed to see. I figured right. That was going to get better, and it has. The fact that he cannot just throw the ball still but move around and make plays on the move has my eyes open. And if that continues, the Jets are very projectable as a playoff team and as a problem going into the AFC playoffs. They've replaced the Dolphins in that division. I still think the Jets are going to win that division, by the way, as impressive as the Bills have been. Next.
John is in Imperial.
Hello, John.
Hey, Joe. You know, it's something that drives me nuts is everyone keeps saying in 2020 the Steelers were 11-0 and look at how that team finished. Does nobody remember they played three games in 11 days?
I do remember that. Yes, the schedule was compressed. This is just a better team than that. It's a better team.
But think about, they played Washington on 3 days rest. They were physically destroyed in that game and never recovered.
Yeah, I mean, maybe for that night that's an excuse, but they had plenty of time to recover before Baker Mayfield and the team without a coach put 48 on them in a playoff game. I mean, I can't ignore that. This team's better, flat out. The thing that got unmasked with that team was they were a one-trick pony on offense with a very bad combination of not being able to get the ball down the field and not being able to run consistently. They were a throw short, hopefully run long offense that by the end became a throw short, run short offense. And this team has the capability. I'm not saying this will happen, but it has the capability to A, be a better run team, first of all, and secondly, maybe be able to do a little more things from the quarterback position. That was an aging Ben. He had a good year, don't get me wrong, but I think this version of Fields could be better than that version, that late-stage version of Ben. Do we have Ben on Fields, by the way? Do you have that, Wonder Twin? I believe Wonder Twin cut up football in this week, which is great. Ben's great. I never thought this would happen, that he would be in the media world and doing a podcast where he was firing off opinions, but it's really good stuff. Ready?
Here's Ben.
Yeah. Today, it's like there was he had Pat on the shallow and he fit in the seam behind it. Like today, it's like he's starting to come out of his shell a little bit.
Okay.
And I thought today was like, okay, if this is the guy that we're going to get,
you're cool with it.
This might be the guy of the future. It might be the guy of the future. I'm just being honest. I mean, I know they talk about.
Hey, y'all heard it here.
I'm saying it might. I said might, didn't I?
Wow.
Might? I don't know.
Hey, Justin, that's a big compliment.
He's showing he did it with his legs, did it with his arm. He took chances today. He protected the ball.
I don't think I ever heard you say that, Ben. And I played with
I'm
you
just
11
saying,
years.
What I saw today was a guy that I thought showed a lot and showed growth and showed poise
wow.
and against a defense that is,
that
they were,
really
I think they're top five in every category, I think.
They were.
I mean, what are we talking about? And it wasn't in early on, it was like three and out. Mm-hmm. But they were still. I think he completed his first 10 passes. So, yeah, you'd be like,
It was short passes. But
you know what? It's okay. Yeah, I think it was 10 for like 50 yards. Yeah. And you're going to be like, oh, that's not really great. But you know what? There were no turnovers. It was efficient.
Yep.
And it's just like he was waiting and waiting, and he took care of it. And then all of a sudden it's like, I scramble, I take a shot. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm throwing the seam ball. Now I'm doing what I have to do. Mm-hmm. What I saw today was a guy that
he's gonna grow throughout the season.
That's just gonna keep getting better.
There you go, man. I mean, he used the words if and might. So, I mean, you'd be crazy. Anybody would be crazy. Any of us to say Justin Fields is definitely the guy. They're moving ahead with him. He's going to be an MVP candidate. No. I think what Ben said there was very appropriate. That game had to open your eyes because they were going against a very physical, talented defense. And for the most part, he carved them up. He won them that game. They didn't really get to running until the fourth quarter. They put the ball in Fields' hands, and he won the game. Whether it was by taking up a little bit of clock and working as a de facto run game with his short passes, or whether it was hitting strikes, which he did several times down the seams to Calvin Austin twice, once for a big first down, once for a touchdown. Over the middle to Freiermuth, one of his best plays got called back on the run to Freiermuth. He threw the ball 30. They passed more than they ran. Is everybody aware of that? And all they did was run on their final series. So for a while, they passed way more than they ran. The game plan for this game was Justin Fields is going to win us the game, it would seem. You know, maybe if they run better off the top, they just go with that. Maybe better phrase, they certainly weren't afraid to put the ball in Justin Fields' hands and say, go win this game. Not by a barrage of explosive plays, but by delivering intelligent, controlled football. Is exactly what he did. It's exactly what he did. They passed more than they ran, and he won them the game. Next.
Let's go to Steve in Myrtle Beach.
Good morning, Steve. And by the way, Justin Fields is the guy again this week. You probably heard that by now. Mike Tomlin on there saying, you know, essentially leave the light on for Wilson again, but likely Fields. That's my interpretation. Go ahead, sir.
Starkey, good afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
I've never been better, and I value your inquiry. How are you?
How can you be bad coming off of a Steelers win? So, you know, to really counter on what you're saying, I just went through as I was driving here, and I started looking at the schedule. I'm only counting no more than five losses. I mean, I ultimately...
How is that countering what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I'm agreeing with you on that one.
Yeah.
And as far as Justin Fields goes, there's no upside at this point to bring in Russ in. And I think the number one thing that's really getting overlooked, Starkey, is when was the last time we felt this good on third downs?
Man, that's a great point. Now, the second half of the Denver game was brutal all the way around offensively. It was. But for the most part, the Steelers have been good on third down. In fact, they've been one of the better teams in the AFC. And again, against a good defense, the other day they were 7 of 14, 50%. You always get the feeling that Justin Fields is capable by hook or by crook of converting third downs. Steelers are 7th in the NFL right now and 2nd in the AFC to the Jets. Third down conversion percentage. That's a big deal. Big deal. You simply combine time of possession with no turnovers and you're really helping your defense. You keep drives alive and you don't give the ball to the other team and you have a great defense. Man, you're way ahead of the game. And that's the crime. That's the biggest crime of the Matt Canada offense. And I mean a crime is that they stole from their own defense. They made their own defense worse. that defense scored more touchdowns than the Matt Canada-led offense for like the first three games last year. And they never got repaid for it. Their own offense killed them. All those three and outs, all those horrendous first halves in the Matt Canada era. I mean, do you know, you can ask these guys what it's like. What is it like to have to constantly play from behind on defense? To play so much, be on the field so often, to never get help from your offense. It was criminal what they did. And you talk to these guys and they'll tell you, going all the way back to Troy Polamalu, those guys, we have Hokie coming in Thursday. I'll ask him again. Man, do they appreciate it. If the only thing you give them is time of possession, so recuperation time, preservation of game plan time where they don't have to dig in and show everything in, you know, 2.5 quarters because they're on the field the whole damn time. Keep me off the field and don't give the other team the ball. We'll take care of the rest. That's how great defenses think. As a bonus, you want to give us a double-digit lead late? Oh, we'll take that because that's when we can really dig deep into the playbook, for one, bring out some exotic blitzes, pin our ears back and rush the passer without worrying about the other team rushing the ball. I mean, that's manna for defensive players, for great defenses. But the very least you can do is keep them off the field and not give the other team the ball. The Matt Canada offenses did a decent job not giving them the ball, a horrific job of keeping your defense rested and off the field. Three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. I would include in that, at least give me a lead once in a while. They almost never did. Their first halves were awful. Almost all the time. For years. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And the 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Lots of 50-year anniversaries coming up. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr.
kindly.
Hester.
All right. Let's go to Bob Pompiani yesterday. He needs to remember that he's sitting across from a savvy old news hound and a savvy young news hound. So when he throws out a little side note that he was out to dinner with Tony Romo the other night or heard something from Romo on Saturday night, these two news hounds are going to go after him. This is what happened yesterday on the show.
Tony Romo. Good.
Holy
Tony
bird
Romo
oil.
Told me the night before, but during the game, that he thinks he's going to be a first ballot, or not a first ballot, a first team All Pro.
Hold on a second. Where did you see Tony Romo?
Just out at a dinner.
Oh, you had dinner with Romo.
Let's have some details.
It's just one of those things we do when they haven't. Do you know they hadn't been in town for like since 2021?
Me and Limits are going to trade questions with you about the dinner.
No, we're not. I'm not getting into any of that because it doesn't matter. What I'm telling you,
who did you have dinner with? Just tell us that.
Just those guys.
Was Jim Nance there?
Sure.
Where'd you go?
You're not going to know. It's none of your business. Like,
oh,
it's a
my
dinner.
God. Come on.
Can you believe this?
Anyway,
none
during the
of
broadcast.
Our business.
You went to dinner with Tony Romo, Jim Nance, and Tracy Wolfson.
Said, during the it's like, what does I don't know. He ate food. What
you
I'm saying
absolutely.
Is,
if you go out to dinner with Tony Romo, you know what he ordered and
I
Nance.
I don't know. I have no idea.
How many people were there?
There were a lot of people there, so it doesn't matter.
All from CBS. And they invited you.
So my point is that he thinks he's going to be a first team all pro shortly. Like, I don't know how shortly that means, but that dude is good. And you knew he was good coming into this camp.
Who?
Zach Frazier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Bob, this is curious. I mean, this is fun to me. You went out for a big dinner and Nance and Romo were there. What kind of company is Romo?
Oh, they're great. They're great guys. I mean, really are. They're very good storytellers. Enjoy coming to Pittsburgh, I can tell you that. And they missed not being able to come here over the last several years, mostly because 425 games, the Steelers didn't have a lot of them. This was a 1 o'clock game, which is rare. They may get another one in Vegas, given the way the schedule is, because it's not a doubleheader for CBS. So,
who did you sit next to?
It doesn't matter. I don't remember.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
What
he knows exactly.
Why are you such a nebby?
Who cares?
Because this is like...
This is big news, Bob.
Everybody out there listening would love to go to dinner with the CBS people. It's cool. It's fun.
We've known them over the years. It's not that big of a deal. We do it.
It's a big deal to others. It's a big deal to me. Is it a big deal to
you? It's a very big deal to me.
I just want to know what it was like, who you sat next to, what the talk was like, what they ordered. I'm interested.
It was all talk about Pittsburgh talk. I mean, good stuff. Boswell was a big topic of conversation because of the fact that he had a 6-for-6 performance, sort of similar to Ohtani, and Jim brought that up during the broadcast. You know, you don't see many of those kinds of games. Stuff like that. It was all sports related.
How does the check get broken up there, Bob?
Well, I can tell you, I don't pay.
He's more than happy to say that.
Is this a regular occurrence when Nance and company come in?
When they come in, yeah. It's just a CBS thing, you know.
Wow. I mean, wouldn't you like to know where they went? Why won't Bob reveal that?
I think Bob will tell us off the air.
I'm not telling you anything. It's not relevant. And I shouldn't even brought that up, except that he was so effusive in praise.
Yeah.
That's what the deal was, you know, so...
I'm still very curious.
You ain't bringing up in front of the savvy old news sound that you heard from Romo the night before the game without a follow-up question, Bob.
And you got it, and you have an answer. You don't get the complete answer.
I get paid a very small amount of money to be the savvy old news sound.
Did Romo talk to you like he does? Oh, there they go, Jim, down the field.
He is pretty much what you see. You know, he's got
an
exciting...
Hey, Jim, how about a bottle of wine?
Oh, Jim, let's get a kick the field.
How about a bottle of wine, Jim? Did he predict things that you would do, Romo, before you did them?
No, I don't think he does that as much. Do you think so? I don't think he does that as much.
Hey, Jim, Bob's about to order the tiramisu.
Jim, I think the cheesecake is going to be a 10 out of 10.
Oh, my.
All right, Libitz, that's enough. I mean, come on, Bob, right? This is fun. He was very paranoid and guarded on this topic. Why?
It was like that topic that you bring up, and then you're like, I don't know if I want to share, when you're talking to your friends just sitting around the campfire, sharing stories.
I thought it was all in good fun.
It was
and
like,
eventually he relented, although he never did tell us where they went.
Bob wanted us to know that he went with Romo and Nance to dinner, but he also didn't want us to know anything else about it other than that he went.
Was it a low-key brag?
Yes, low-key flex.
Brag?
It's a humble brag from Bob.
If you're going to humble brag, you got a couple hounds in here. They're going to jump on you.
I thought our questions were very good.
So did I.
We treated him like he was Mike Tomlin at the press conference.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 75 today, 75% chance of rain, which you're already seeing a little bit of. Your wonderful man limits. Tomorrow is hump day, which means we're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking to the big boy, right?
Mark Cabali tomorrow, yeah.
We're going to see if Russell Wilson, he's supposed to be limited tomorrow. We'll see about some of these other injuries. These are good times. The Steelers are 3-0. The other three teams in the division are a combined what? 2-7.
Correct.
Oh, man. I don't see that changing. One or two of them's going to lose this weekend. And the Steelers are going to win again and again and again. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.